For the last 4 weeks, this podcast has been all comedy all the time, focusing on the world premiere of our ninth stage show, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. But we have had other shows going on too, specifically the autumn tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised in the UK, which comes to its conclusion this week with 8 final performances in the brand new Park Theatre in Finsbury Park, London. I wanted to know more about this theatre. It only opened last May, so in honor of our week of performances there, I asked our very own Matt Rippey to sit down with Park Theatre creative director Melly Bond and talk about how you go about building and opening a brand new theatre in the most already theatre-rich city in the world. Matt began by asking the most important and fundamental question of all.
This is a time of austerity measures where across the UK theatres are struggling and closing, and yet you guys have this amazing new building. Are you ballsy? or just quite simply insane.
A little bit of both, I think.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 365, The Park Theater.
How did it start? And how long ago? How did this begin?
Well, initially started with an idea with Jez and I wanting to both independently wanting to have a building, run a theater, create a new theater space that we could really sink our teeth into, make something really different, really something intimate. And we wanted to find an area that didn't have arts provision, so whatever we were doing and bringing into the community would actually make a difference to the community, so not just one of many theaters. But that would actually make a difference, and so we...
So a place that didn't have arts provision, so a place that by nature was already lacking some sort of, you know, artistic community.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier to get the funding and support? Because you can say this is a void?
Maybe in a way. I mean, it doesn't really make it
crazy.
Easier. It was just the idea of wanting to be able to make a difference somewhere. Mm. And then the other goal was to say, well, what we'd really like to do is... Be a theater that was, you know, London recognized and maybe nationally recognized and then maybe internationally recognized. So it's like obviously big thinking.
So start small.
And work your way up. But kind of the only way to have those two things that we wanted was to try to find the right kind of building. And one of the main criteria of that is it needs to be accessible. And so we found this building next to Finsbury Park. A tube station, and it hit
stone's throw.
Exactly. So people can get there from anywhere around the UK. It's very, very easy. And Finsbury Park did not have a theatre for more than 50 years. And it's a really diverse community. And that area has, I think, the largest concentrations of artists in the whole of London, or around that area, those kind of people that live there. So obviously kind of theatre goers. So it just was a kind of magic find for us. It ticked all the right boxes. And the cost of it being 2.6 million, that's really when you come in and look at the building that you'd think, God, surely this would cost a lot more. And it is from the love and sacrifice of a lot of people doing things for free and for favors and that sort of thing, because we had no money, so we really just had to fundraise on our own.
We
don't have government funding, we don't have arts council funding, we started with nothing.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of snowballing into being able to create a building and a theater company, which was quite a lot to do all in one go, but it's taken us many years to actually find the space. And then once we got the building in 2009, then to get the whole program of works going and just start to invite people into the space. We had little hard hat tours, so we'd have local residence tours for people in the industry to kind of just say, hey, do you want to support us? Do you want to get involved? This is what we're going to be doing. So that by the time we opened in May of this year, we at least had some level of a community kind of going, wow, this is exciting. And for us, it's like, you need to share that with people. It's not a little secret that you go, oh, yay, hi, we're open. Kind of just saying, who wants to help out? Who wants to be involved in getting volunteers working with us? You know, it's not like we were paying ourselves money to do it. You know, everybody has worked as a sacrifice because we all believe in the project and the sort of big ethos of being intimate, being arts led, and the building and the whole ethos is about who uses the space on every capacity. So whether you're an audience member coming into the bar and just sitting and having a nice coffee, it's got to be good. Well, if you're you know, working back of house, you got to have a nice green room. You're an actor, you got to be in a nice dressing room. So it's trying to find that level of care for everyone. In all levels was really, really important to us. So we did a lot of research and going out to many, many theaters to figure out how we were going to build that and learning.
That's
from
one thing
people.
You've definitely done is you've created a sense of community and people hang out in your bar and cafe, not necessarily just to see a show, but just to hang out because it's a nice place to be. It has become an artistic hub. Okay, but wait a minute. So back up for a second.
Yeah.
So which came first? You know, the chicken or the egg? The venue or the funding? Did you find the building, and then which obviously needs a lot of money poured
kind
into
of
it?
A boat.
And then go to the Arts Council. How much did they say?
Well, the
that
Arts
they
Council.
Have,
we haven't got any Arts Council funding.
Really?
We don't have. No, we're not. We've
where's
got
all your money coming
donation
from?
from starting out with friends, family, trusts,
right.
Foundation,
right.
Foundations. And
massive fundraiser.
And
when did you get
we
Ian
did
McKellen
a really big
on board? Because didn't
he came on
help
board,
you with a big
yeah,
fundraiser?
He did. He came on board back, golly, well, like the, our gala was about a year ago, well, just over a year ago in October. And we were really trying to get the final push to raise enough money for our education floor. So I've got what I actually call creative learning, because I think education is a bit academic, and it's not that, it's creative learning.
Just give me a shiver.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, it's not a school,
right.
It's a theater.
Yeah.
And so one of the key elements to what we wanted to do is be able to have a space so that you could have all kinds of different groups being able to come in and use that space, not just the theaters, have rehearsals, workshops, all kinds of things, and to have a dedicated floor to that was really, really important for us. And the design of the building meant that we needed to use the top front of the building, which we had actually been able to get permission to change. Part of the building was a change of usage, so that it wasn't just a commercial property, it was actually residence. So the local Islington Council gave us the ability to build those into flats, which would help offset the cost of the build. So that's one thing that's helped.
Top floors of the building are converted into flats.
Exactly. So we had a two-bed, the top floor is a two-bed, and then the next is two one-beds. And then we had permission to do another floor of two one-bed flats.
Right.
We wanted to have that floor be our creative learning floor.
Right.
So we needed to raise £400,000 for that, because that's really what the cost of selling the flats would have to come to.
Right.
At least that.
Right.
So we had a gala. So Ian McKellen, who'd become a friend, having come to one of our early day little hard hat tours and parties. He was invited through Sean Mathias, who's an ambassador of ours, and he came on board and said, this is amazing, I really think this is a great idea, I love what you guys are doing. We said, would you, you know, want to host our gala, because it does mean a lot to him as well. I think people could really see what it was that we were trying to achieve. And
that
it
must
was
have
an
been
amazing, amazing.
I've seen one of your hard hat
to
tours. Yeah, I bet. I've seen one of your hard hat tours, and they're like a little performance. And in the audience was Ian McKellen. That must have been nerve wracking. Ian McKellen's in the house. Wow.
But
and you raised, how much
lovely.
Money did you raise on that gala? There was lots of.
At the gala, well, gala, we raised $100,000.
Wow.
So, and we'd been working towards the other 400, it was the rest of it, that was to complete the 400. So that night didn't raise the entire 400, but it raised 100,000, which is
which ain't bad.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, through the generosity of people who kind of really understood that this project and what it is that we're trying to do. And I think people are passionate about the arts, they're passionate about this intimacy that we're trying to create, you know, and the feeling of you're never more than four rows away from the actors. You're right there. We've got thrust spaces is Park 200.
Yes, there's two spaces. You call them Park 200.
Park 200 and Park 90. It's kind of a utilitarian, but it's just easy. It means you kind of go, right, okay, that's a bigger space, and that's Park 200, Park 90. And also, we don't want it to devalue the quality of the work you would see in either one. It's just simply a different space. It's sometimes you say maybe main house and studio. It might kind of make you think, oh, that's maybe not going to be as good, but that's not what we want people to understand, that they're just different spaces. And you'll see different kinds of work going on in them both.
I'm Frank Marzullo from Fox 19 in Cincinnati, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, this month, lots of places. Every night until December 29th, 2013, you can see us perform the world premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Also this Friday, December 7th, you can see us perform The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And starting tonight, December 2nd, you can see the final eight performances of our Autumn 2013 UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised at the Park Theatre in Finsbury Park, London. It's already mostly sold out, so spread the word and get your tickets fast. But that is not the end of our UK dates. Next month, on January 29th, 2014, we will begin a three-month, 60-city UK tour of the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged. All the venues and dates are up on our website now. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And since we open at the Park Theater tonight, let's go back to Matt Rippey talking to Park Theater Creative Director Melly Bond.
So you opened in May 2013.
We opened in May 2013, this year, May. So here we are in the middle of season two.
Don't gloss over your opening. Yeah. You guys opened, and we followed your progress. Newbury Productions and Reduced Shakespeare Company, because we're going, ooh, it's a bright, shiny new theater.
Yeah.
We need to be there. and so we watched as show after show. You guys did become the darlings of the London theater press. I mean, there were articles not only about the team, the creative team, you and Jez, and the building itself, and its amazing contribution to the community. So you were getting 5-star reviews from The Guardian, for instance, a stunning 2.5 million playhouse, says The Guardian. You were getting reviews just about the theater before you even opened anything. And then, show after show, your average rating
is four stars.
That's amazing.
It's very exciting.
And then
now
you have the reduced coming. Now, I hope we can maintain the quality level.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's a reputation of the Reduced Shakespeare Company that's so exciting for us to bring into the building. I mean, that's
how
a really big
in?
Deal.
You produce your own work, but you
Well, we
you
produce
also
our own work, but we also have...
We
receive, so we've got companies that are coming in, so it's working on a variety of levels, but it's important for us to sort of have companies that have got a wonderful reputation, and what a better reputation than the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and everything about it, it fits perfectly with who we are as a company and as an ethos. It's an exciting show. Three guys, you know, that's intimate. It does exactly what we want to do. It entertains you. I mean, that's a really big thing, first and foremost.
And family-friendly.
Family-friendly,
like
fun,
people of all ages.
Intimate, and, you know, you can learn a little bit along the way, but it's not like, hey, let me tell you a lesson. You know what I mean? And that's, for us, that's a really important thing. You'll see in our mission and vision what it is that we want to do. And I think we have a policy of a broad range of work, so we want, you know, comedies, new writing, classics, all those kinds of things coming in, you know, but the baseline is trying to find an intimate connection, so smaller casts, and a good night out at the theater. You're entertained. You want to come out and have fun. And that's what I really want. I really want people to go, this was a cool place to hang out. I had a nice coffee. I had a nice glass of wine. I saw a really great show. I liked hanging out in the bar afterwards. I'm going to come. And maybe my kids could come to one of the creative learning classes because that sounds kind of fun. Or I'm over 55 and I want to start out some creative writing and do some improv, so I'm going to come to that evening class.
Yeah.
And so
that's
seeing shows and doing these things, I just want people to come in and have fun.
And use the space.
That's our sort of, I think, important thing. I mean, it's wonderful.
As creative director, which is your title, official hat as creative director, you have this broad spectrum of creative input into the use of that space, because you're not only vetting the plays. People submit to you new works, new writing, new playwrights, or some established plays, but with a director who is well known. You've got amazing people, Maureen Lipman, you had Harry Shearer, you've had plays that have gone off on tour, so it's been a launch pad.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, you're also thinking of every room. This is what's very impressive about what you do with that building, is you're filling every room with something. You've always got, like, your creative learning. You even do a, what do you guys call it? Not a fete,
the flea.
A flea market.
Finsbury flea. The idea behind that is just for literally people to come into the building who maybe haven't experienced theater, but they go, oh, well, I like vintage clothes, or I'm going to check out that lady's got some cool handmade jewelry. Well, that's neat. Something different on a Sunday. Come in and have a browse. Go, oh, I can have a little coffee, maybe have a look at that. For me, these kinds of things are also very theatrical.
Yeah.
Like vintage clothing, handmade stuff.
You do workshops.
You know, that's artistic as well.
Yeah,
so it's merit.
You have some acting workshops for playwrights to develop their work. They bring in actors. You've got, what's this that you came up with? A script accelerator.
Script accelerator, yep. That I took six companies that had submitted proposals to me. And they wanted to, they were all looking at Park 90 to put their work on. Mm. And what I felt it was important was that their work needed further development before it was exposed to the public. Because you don't want to just go, okay, oh fine, you've got a show, you can financially produce it, here you go. Because you need to take care of them and make sure that it's going to be good. Mm. So that's part of the, I would say, curation or vetting process, is making sure that what then goes on is something that it reflects back to us. So the average person coming into the building didn't differentiate between, oh, that company produced it or that company produced it. It's all Park Theater. Mm. So it needs to be, it's, you know, under our umbrella, whatever you think, it's something that's coming from us. So anyway, with these six companies that I really believed in, I thought I really want them to get an opportunity to work more. And I'm actually very proud and very excited to say, and my season three, I'm not going to announce it yet, but I will say as a little teaser, two shows in Park 90 in season three are for two of those companies that were in Script Accelerator.
Really?
And I'm very, very proud of that. Really proud of that.
Absolutely, because it means you're not only just a receiving house going, give me the product, give us the money, get on our stage, and then get out. Instead, you're saying we can be part of the process, help you develop it.
Yeah.
Which is
I want to try to stay in as close. You know, we're a really small team of people, and that's difficult. And I think a lot of people will find, God, well, have it gotten back to me or whatever. Like, it's hard because we're overstretched. It's a tight team. We're trying to take care with everything that we do. Mm. So, it's working on all these different levels as much as you can, working all hours of the day.
Yes,
just to try to build it. You know, it's trying to build into something that's big with a small team with big ideas.
You also have a very famous member of the staff, Hazel, who has her, Hazel the dog, a bull mastiff mixed with a miniature pincher, who has her own Twitter account.
Yep.
And if you're in the Christmas spirit, on the last day, the Reduced Shakespeare Company, we're there from the 2nd to the 8th, and on the 8th, you are hosting,
Hazel.
Santa Hazel is hosting Hazel's Grotto.
Hazel's got a little grotto, so I think it's a perfect day for people who want to come and see you guys in the matinee.
Yep.
Come into the building, see the little vintage things on sale, friends briefly, come up to Hazel's Grotto. Hazel gives you a little certificate with her paw print, you get your little picture taken, finish up with a nice hot chocolate on your way out.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. If anyone is interested in the Park Theater or interested in submitting plays, there they should contact Melly Bond at info@parktheater.co.uk. And, of course, fans of Hazel can find her on Twitter at Park Theater Dog. Then send us your new theaters via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to master interviewer and webmaster Matt Rippey. Not terribly creative director Matthew Croke. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Andrew Singer, or Andrew the Singer, as he's sometimes known. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Frank Marzullo from Frox 19 here in Cincinnati. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 365/1095th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
It'll be an honor for we boys to grace your stage and
it's an honor for us.
Put to bed our tights and doublets.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.